All right, let me just again point you to Philippians. And if you are a guest, thank you for being patient with us. I hope any guests that left will come back and hear a normal service, a normal sermon. But Philippians 4, I love verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but when I think about this year, the year 2020, the first thing that pops in my head is not rejoice. Right? Is that the first thing that you think of when you think about this past year? I didn't think so. I started this year out with shingles. Some of you remember that. That was a lot of fun. Just Happy New Year to me. And then a few months after that, I was just getting over that. And then I found myself having to make decisions. Pastor Alex and Brother Michael and I, we found ourselves having to make decisions that are a pastor's worst nightmare. Cancel services for 2 months. Some churches still haven't met in person. 6 months. Over 6 months. 2 months. I preach to an empty room and a camera? Nah, not this guy. You notice I didn't do it? I don't ever plan to do it. I just don't think that's preaching God's way. I'm not condemning my brothers who are doing it. They have to answer to God for them. I have to answer for me. It's just not for me. That's not how it's designed to be. And then we had to make a decision about, but will we at least do some discipleship over Zoom? I didn't even know what Zoom was. Zoom for me was like, go fast, go fast. We did that. We did some of that. And that got old in a hurry to all of us. Stop visiting the sick. Stay away from my church family. The people I love most in the world. Don't touch one another. Hide your smile everywhere you go. Do a podcast? One of my pastor friends in Texas said through a mutual friend we have here that's a member of this church, he said, make sure you tell Keith that I said Jesus must be coming soon because I just saw Keith McWhorter on a podcast. It's true. You know me. This is not me. It's not my style. And I'm not even mentioning politics. But you know what God does, church? He comes to us, His blood-bought people in Christ. He comes to us in all of this madness. And He speaks a word. He's so good to do it, isn't He? In the word He spoke to the Philippian church, they were suffering and their world was mad. You think this is new? The world's fallen. It's always been mad. The Philippian church had madness all around them. And God came to them through Paul and He spoke a word. And that word was rejoice. Rejoice. Be full of joy. Be full of joy. I don't know about you, but I've had to fight for joy this year. I've had to fight to rejoice. But we have been given so many reasons at Courtham Baptist Church. Haven't we? So many reasons. Everywhere you look in this church, you have a reason to rejoice. We've seen God grow people. We've seen God save marriages. We've seen God get the gospel to, just yesterday, 100 people listened to a sermon that I preached through translation, but 100 people in a nation where it is very normal for you to get tortured, imprisoned, and to be killed for following Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for. There are churches caught up in lawsuits against their governments right now. The government's sworn to protect their right to meet. And they're having to pay lawyers in America. because the government has turned on them. It's going to happen, I think, everywhere in America. We were warned that when the Obergefell decision came down about gay marriage. We were warned that even by people on the Supreme Court that this is bad news for religious freedom in America. Well, now it's on two fronts. They've used that and the pandemic. We're being assaulted on two fronts now. The third front will open up. It's just a matter of time. All of us hope we're dead and gone by the time it gets that bad. I know. But what if we're not? Will we rejoice in the Lord always? It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command in the Greek. And it's said twice. I'll say it again, Paul says. Just in case you thought you misheard me, God says, be full of joy. Rejoice, church. Always. That means in all ways and at all times. Be full of joy. Sharing Christ's joy together is what we're called to do. Are the ballots finished? I'm going to preach till they're done. I don't see anybody saying the ballots are finished. Let's go. To be full of joy requires that we pay attention to what follows on the heels of that, right? Just keep following that passage. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, that's hard to say, be known to everyone. I don't like that translation. I love my ESV, but I don't think reasonableness is the best way to bring out the Greek there. It means let your yielding spirit, let your tolerance, your restraint, your loving, courteous manner and forbearance, that's what it means. Let that be known to everyone. And why is this so critical? In a year when people are leaving because churches are wearing masks and the people are leaving because churches aren't wearing masks, why would that matter? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It has a lot to do with our shared joy, doesn't it? That we learn how to be courteous and kind and tolerant, and we bear with one another in love instead of berating one another in loathing. If you've done any of that, I hope you've sat down with whomever that might have been offended or hurt and just made that right with God and them. We're family, church. We're going to live with one another forever in heaven, and so let's do it well here by God's grace. We must bear with one another. Why? Paul says the Lord is near. Because God is here. Because God is watching and he's with us and he's among us and he's hopefully not grieving because of us. Amen? The Lord is near. And so we must let our yielding spirits be known to everyone. And then we must replace anxiety, he says, with prayer, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A shared spirit of joy requires us to be kind and tolerant of one another. And it requires us to replace anxiety with prayer. That seems like too simple of an answer, doesn't it, Counselor Lori Beard? Can that possibly work? Yes, it can, because that's the means God has given you. Anxiety's been running high this year, hasn't it? We've all had to deal with a whole lot of anxiety, a whole lot of unknowns, even some fear factors. Don't act like you haven't. This has been a crazy, uncertain year. And in many ways, still is. What does God recommend for his people in the matter of anxiety? Pray together. This is church stuff. This is written to a local church. Pray together. Make supplication together. Be thankful together. I just spent the Sunday school hour praying with the teenagers, some of them preteens, but the youth room, that class. It was so sweet to hear their hearts and to hear the things that they were concerned about and be able to pray with them about those things. I tell you, it's amazing how it drives out anxiety and how it brings unity. It's very, very hard not to tolerate one another in love when you're bowing your heads together before your Heavenly Father and you're saying, I want this brother, this sister to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Please be good to this, my brother, my sister. Meet their needs, Lord. Use them for your glory and your honor. It's very, very hard to stay offended, to stay wounded and hurt. Prayer drives out anxiety. And anxiety, you know what anxiety does? It makes us bite and devour one another, but prayer will drive it out. And so when we schedule prayer times, we have a whole Sunday school class, if you want to call it that, that's nothing but a prayer group now. Did you know that? If you don't come to the Sunday school hour, normally I would say you should just come and be in a Bible study, but I'm totally okay with you just coming and joining that prayer group. Totally okay. I'd love for you to do that. When we schedule the fourth Wednesday of every month as a prayer gathering, you should come. You should move things in your schedule and come, because it will drive out anxiety, which I think this year we all know we need it driven out. What's the result of all that? Prayer, cotton is not the fabric of our lives. Prayer is, right? Prayer is the fabric of our lives as God's people in Christ. What's the result of rejoicing, of praying, of loving one another with kindness and bearing with one another and being thankful together? What's the ultimate result of that? The peace of God, which no one can understand, surpasses the human mind, is literally how the Greek says there. Just, it blows the human mind. It will be yours. And will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we rejoice together, church, when we are thankful together and we bear with one another in love and we pray together, we have a mind-blowing peace. We find ourselves loving life no matter what's going on around us, because we're inside this impenetrable fortress who is Christ Jesus the Lord. And the walls of that fortress are named Shalom. Peace. God's peace. Do you want it? Do you need it? Do you have it? You must come to give your life to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to know this mind-blowing peace. But if we're in the church and we're in Christ, we already have it. God, just help us live that way. I hope when people see this church and we look back on this year, and Lord willing, we will look back on it, they will be able to say, we were a church that had a peace in a pandemic. We had peace. We didn't have chaos and confusion. We had peace. Because we rejoiced. We were bearing with one another in love. We were praying together. We were thankful together. We had peace. I love you, church. God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.